Women That Lead presents Our Leading Edge, featuring your host, Jenna Forster, Mastermind Executive Coach, inspiring women to lead with alignment, passion, and purpose through conversations that inspire. Stretch yourself to a new level. Learn, grow, expand. And now, here's your host, Jenna Forster.
Happy Monday, everyone, and welcome to Our Leading Edge. This is your host, Jenna Forster, and we are here, as we are every second Monday, to join you and our guests to have some inspiring conversation. And today, we'll not miss that mark. Today, we're going to be joined by Mr. Drayton Boylston. He actually started and runs the Executive Coaching University, among other things. He is an author of 3 books, and we'll discuss that in a minute. And overall, just a great guy. I like to call him Batman. He likes to call me Robin. Drayton, a little bit of information about him. He's a recovering CEO, and he's actually had a crazy good ride in business, one that almost killed him. Coming out of that experience with his sanity somewhat intact, I might argue with that, he discovered a way to save himself from the life he created. So now he teaches others to do the same. He is a mindfulness mentor, and he helps people slay their stress, build their mindfulness, and serve others. He's written 3 books, as I discussed earlier. They are called Coming Unscrooged, A Whisper from Your Soul, and More Whispers from Your Soul, the last 2 becoming bestsellers. Drayton feels privileged to have his whispers circulating, and they're actually circulating through his 70,000-plus tribe members. He's also the founder of the Executive Coaching University, which has trained thousands of people in 39 countries. Most importantly, Drayton has learned how to live an integrated and fulfilling life. He lives with his wife of 25 years and their 2 great kids at 8,000 feet up in the Rockies. So Drayton, hello, welcome to the show.
Hello, Miss Jenna, and I'm blushing and really questioning that whole thing about my sanity. Did I hear that correctly?
That's right. It's always on the edge. It's always on the edge, buddy.
It's on the edge. That lightning rod sanity question.
That's right. So I wanted to bring you on today because, you know, if I look around, whether it's social media or however I get my information, I'm constantly inundated with things that say, take these 5 steps to be successful or become happy in 10 days or all of these different promotional items. Not to say some of them aren't valid and some of the individuals producing them aren't extremely valid, but it came up for me that I think there's some room for some foundational conversation that may be missing in all of this hoopla or jargon that we hear. In order to be happy or successful or fulfilled or whatever it is we're looking for, there's some very specific things to be discussed, to be looked at, to be opened up. And one of those things, and what I wanted to talk to you today about, is around the topic of values. And it's a well-used word. Most people say, oh yeah, I have family values, right? I have values that were passed down to me through my parents and my grandparents and the culture that I was brought up in. Or I have, oh yeah, I have these values over here and they come up in my lives and this is how I express them. And there's all these conversations that can happen. But I want to get down to the nitty gritty of, you know, some of the questions I want to ask you, and I'll pace you through them, is, you know, what are values and how do they influence our lives? And then how do we know when we're in alignment with that or not in alignment with that? So I want to start that conversation with you and let's see where it goes and let's create some value for our listeners. So my first question is, A, do you have any response to what I just said? And let's talk about values. What are they?
Yeah, they're a bunch of hooey. that's the short answer, because based upon the way we're viewing them in society right now, and these, you talked about these various programs that are out there and change your life, and we don't get it just culturally. And I will say personally, I didn't get it until I actually started working on them, because we espouse these things. We have values about, you know, family and friends. And the reality is the vast majority of people on this planet never spend more than 5 seconds thinking about what values really are. And values are hooey right now because they are simply words and not action.
I completely agree with that. I think they are so overstated that everybody says, I've got those. But if you ask them what they are, the first line that you'll get are surface and not very deep at all and not connected whatsoever.
Absolutely. And the reality is most people don't want to go there. And they don't want to spend the time, quiet time, whatever it is they need to do in terms of working on those things. And, you know, especially in North America, we're conditioned to be really great at superficiality. and we don't want to slow down enough to spend the time thinking about what these are and then looking at our actions very objectively and seeing exactly where we're spending, as you well know, spending our time and spending our money. Because those two things will reflect exactly what your values are in terms of your actions versus just your words.
And I love that. I love that way of getting into values, because most people say, I don't know how. Once you call them on it and you say, okay, well, those are great. They sound really good. Thanks for sharing, but let's dig a little bit deeper. The next question is usually, I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to know what my values are. You know, this is hard, quote unquote, hard. And so what you're saying is there's two pieces you can look at to start that conversation with yourself. The look at how you spend your time and look at how you spend your money. Really great vehicles to get someone into the place of, oh, huh, I spent that much time over there this month. And I'm putting money over here. And this is what I'm investing in, because that's what we're doing. And I think there is a connection there between what we invest in, time, money, or energy, and what we value.
Oh, clearly there is, Jenna. And back to the whole awareness piece around all this is people are not taking enough time to slow down, to be introspective, and kind of hover above their lives and look at what they're doing on a daily basis that really reflects how they're showing up in this world. And most people, there's a massive disconnect between the way people think they're showing up and the way they really are. And until we get to the place where we observe that and try to close that gap through our actions, it's all just emptiness.
Yeah, and what I hear there is that whole doing, being place, right? Where I always say we're doing ourselves to death, because there is a direct connection when we feel out of alignment or disconnected or stuck or any of those places that we can be in, we end up filling our time more. So we put more on our schedule. We add more things to do. We get quote unquote busy. And I know you have a whole diatribe on busyness, which I don't know if we'll get to today, but maybe another show. But we are robotically doing things in our lives. And I believe it's because we are out of alignment with who we are.
I'll take that a step further. I think we're afraid of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
I think if people slowed down to the point where they had a 360-degree view of their lives, it would scare them to death. Because it's completely different than the story they are telling themselves. And they're justifying so many things through this busyness, through the doing, and avoiding this purview, this 360-degree view of themselves to see what it's really like. And it's a scary place to go. I've been there, and I continue to go there. It's, you know, this is not there's no finish line in this, you know, well, I guess there is, you know, when we kick the bucket. But the reality is, it's a scary place to go. And people have to have supreme courage and the desire to do the work in order to get there.
It is. And I think one of the tricky pieces to that is that piece about what you said about the story. You know, we all have very strong stories about us, about our lives, about the people in our lives, about what our lives look like. And because of those stories, we form the projection of our life outward. And most of the time, we are not part of it. We are not even involved, because with what you're saying, we're afraid to truly look at that. It's easier to project and deflect and move in a place where it's outward focused, where we're trying to gain outward things, people, places, status, instead of truly looking inside and having the courage, as you say, to figure it out, because it is a little bit muddy, a little bit ugly.
Well, it is, and therein lies the growth. Mm-hmm. The growth opportunities are not through just, you know, being busy and hanging out and never addressing these things. The growth opportunities are going to the scary places, the dark shadows that most people do not want to go to. And that's what we're seeing just on all over the world, really, is people avoiding by doing. And so the busyness level goes up, and then, of course, the stress level goes up. Then, of course, people get sick, people commit suicide, people go, depression is going to be the number two killer by 2020. There's all this completely valid research that is out there that shows us that how we're doing things today is not working.
So what do you say to someone that says, oh, I know what my values are, I've got this, and I don't really need to pay attention to that? How does someone know if that's necessarily true or not? You know, I don't think we can say everybody's off base, and there may be people out there that are aligned and they do understand, but how does someone know? So how do we know when we are not living through our values, and how do we know when those aren't showing up in our lives?
Well, I want to go back to the first question in that, Jenna, and that is, what do I say when somebody says they know what their values are? I ask them to walk across the swimming pool. Because the reality is, they don't. And we always question them. And if they've got their values all aligned, and I mean, the vast majority of people don't. So they're under this delusion that they have their values aligned and they're so 10 feet tall and bulletproof and they can walk across swimming pools that they've got it made. They're good to go. And those people that put on that false bravado, and in our case, we work with a lot of alpha, big-time execs, male and female, all over the world, and they've got this facade that they've built around so many different things, and inside they're very insecure little boys and girls, just as I was when I was in the corporate world. It was the imposter thing. So the people that think that they have it all figured out are usually the ones that are really good at telling themselves this story that works for them to avoid all these other things.
I completely agree with that. And I'm wondering, can you share with us? I know your story, but the audience doesn't. Can you share? Because you will honestly say you were one of those alpha types, in high-level executive, imposter. Can you share your story with the audience?
Yes, and I'll do the abbreviated version because you don't want people having to go get no-dos. I was incredibly blessed to have a meteoric career in the financial services world and high-tech lending and the Wall Street thing and that whole run. And I got to be the age of 39, and I was CEO of a very, very successful company. And I was completely convinced that I was going to die, to the point where I remember, and remember, I'm 39 years old at this point and got all the stuff and, you know, just this great career, and outside in, everybody looks at you and go, oh, you've got the perfect family, you've got the perfect this, the perfect that. And it's like, it was emptiness. And I remember one night, Catherine, my wife, and I were sitting out on the deck at our home here in Colorado and watching the sunset and having a glass of wine. And I started breaking down. And we were having a great time. And then all of a sudden I just went to tears, and I looked at her and I said, I really feel that I'm going to be dead before the end of the year. I was 39 years old. And at that point in time, you say, well, Drayden, did you heed that? And did you make some changes? Well, the reality is no, And I kept having more and more of these teachers, as I referred to them, come into my experience to the point where I broke my back in a horse falling accident. And just all these things kept showing up, and I didn't wise up. I kept flunking the IQ test that I need to make some change. To the point where one day I walked, just fast forward, I walked into the chairman's office and I looked at him and I said, I'm done. I am done. I at that point in time, I chose to live and make changes versus keeping doing what I was doing and gaining more stuff and dying. I was completely convinced of that. And I had this cathartic experience where I said, okay, if I'm going to make this commitment, then I'm going to help other people avoid getting in the same position I am. And that's when I've set aside the mission to help people save themselves from the lives they've created. And we started with executives, and we've branched that out and grown it, just mushroomed it to really anyone on this planet. There are so many people, you know, billions of us, that need to save ourselves from the lives we've created. And we need to do this through hard work, and back to the whole genesis of this conversation, through values. That's the start of the conversation.
I think that's such a powerful story, and I honestly believe that you were one of the lucky ones because you were able to recognize it. And I know you know my story, and a lot of the listeners know my story because I've shared it, and I shared it in the first couple of shows that I had. I consider myself one of the lucky ones. Would I have wished what I went through on anyone? No, not at all. And I'm sure you wouldn't either. But most of our society is living in such a way that it will take, unfortunately, a drastic, traumatic occurrence in their lives in order for them to pay attention. And I think, and I believe with all my heart, that coaches and people that do what we do for a living and are very passionate about what we do, it's about changing that and allowing people to have the conversations and see the things that you and I missed until the train came out and ran us over, so that they can make movement proactively.
That's the key. That's the key, and that's why we do what we do. So we don't have to do an intervention. We don't have to go visit people in the hospital because they were, you know, as dumb as I was. In my case, I consider it dumb luck. I was dumb, mm-hmm. and I got lucky, and that's all it is. Mm-hmm. So we don't want people to get to that place. And we know we have all this data that we've accumulated over the years that points to the fact that business the way it is isn't working, especially people in leadership positions are literally killing themselves. And we have to help them gain better tools, resources, habits, et cetera, in advance of them having something catastrophic happen to them and their families. Do that on the front side so we don't have to deal with it on the back side.
So let's follow the conversation and use the last 10 minutes we have together here. If you've got an individual that's listening to this call and they're maybe feeling stuck, or they may be feeling the constant agitation or frustration or impatience, or just something's off, right? Or perhaps they're getting some signs physically. Yeah, starts with a little pain in your shoulder, maybe increases into something else, or perhaps they're seeing signs in their lives, in their relationships, or in their family, or however the signs, right? The teachers, you and I both agree that teachers come into our lives to teach us the lessons we are meant to learn. And unless we learn the lessons, those teachers get louder and louder and louder until we are willing to listen. So if we've got individuals listening to this, maybe feeling different levels of that, different ways on the spectrum, what do we want them to walk away with from this call? What do we want them to know, to understand, to think about?
Oh, boy. The first thing is that you're okay.
Mm.
You are okay. And there are no silver bullets out there. You alluded to these courses and, you know, pay us $5,000 for this 3-day weekend retreat and you'll, you know, be a completely different person. We've never seen any kind of evidence that, other than just hard work, there is no silver bullet that's going to give you the change that you want. So first of all, give yourself some love. And so many people go to the place where they beat themselves up and they start gaining a level of awareness. And then they just go to that place of, oh, my life is terrible. And they start grousing and beating themselves up to the point where they're going to be paralyzed and go back to the old way because it's just easier. So give yourself some love and know that the starting point is making a decision at this moment in time in your life to do something about it. That is the key. So don't look in the rearview mirror and don't beat yourself up over all these things, as you know, shoulda, woulda, couldas. Think about, from this moment forward, what one thing might I do today? Just one thing might I do today that will move me in the direction I choose to go. Just one thing. And when you start building these muscles and you start seeing that that one thing will lead to one more thing, and one more thing will lead to another, and that you have the capacity and the ability and all the resources you need at this very moment to make the changes you need to. You don't need to go out and buy something or necessarily go to a course or have a guru or whatever to do the things you need to do. Every single human being on this planet has the ability to make the changes they need to with every single breath they possess. The key is, do you have the willingness? If we all have the ability, what separates us from the people that go the next step and improve their lives is the willingness and the hard work.
You brought tears to my eyes with that statement, you are okay, because I think that is so powerful. You know, we tell our kids that. I tell my kids all that all the time. You're okay. You are okay. And I think as adults, we forget that. And we get clouded with stories of our lives, like we discussed. And we forget. We forget that we are okay. And that we have the ability to move in the direction we are looking to move in. I think that's really, really powerful for people to hear.
Mm-hmm. Jenna, I'm completely convinced that if people spent time every single day giving themselves some love, so this could be as simple as writing some things down that your gratitude of things that you appreciate in yourself and others, and just building this gratitude practice, which we love to do, to the point where you look in the mirror and say, I love you. I mean, really mean it. I love you, because we are perfect in every way. And we tend to just focus on the things that we deem to be, quote unquote, imperfect, or compare ourselves to others. And there is no comparison. So if you just did one thing, listening, everybody that's listening to this, if you just did one thing today and started a practice of self-appreciation and love, it would be a game changer. Everything changes when you show up being okay and in love with yourself.
And I think that's so valuable, and it's so real, and I can hear it. I can hear some of those alphas out there saying, are you kidding me? You're telling me to look in the mirror and say, I love you. I know the power of it, and I know you know the power of it. Here is Drayton, a guy that was that alpha, that has moved in such a way that you can now say that. So what would you say to that alpha listening to you just say that?
Get over yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This thing that you built, the story that you told yourself of who you are, at some point, you're going to have to take a courageous leap into the unknown and not be that person that is that title, not be that person that possesses certain things, not be that competitive person that litters the battlefield with your competitors. You have to get to that place where you're okay being vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started going down that path, Jenna, where I said, okay, I'm going to tell my story. It was a big gulp. big gulp because I had spent so many years building up this 10 feet tall and bulletproof persona that I thought I had to live up to. I had to have all the answers. I could never say I don't know. I had to have all the right things. I had to dress a certain way. I had to speak a certain way. And when I got to the place where I said, I'm scared to death. At times I feel like a little boy. I feel like an imposter. I want to go run and hide. I don't have all the answers. I'm not who they think they think that I am, and I feel like an imposter. When we get to that place where we have enough courage to make those statements and still love ourselves, knowing that we're not in love with those things we have or the positions we possess, we're in love with who we really are, then things change. But it takes supreme act of courage. And what I tell people, Jenna, is you're going to get it either now or at that flashpoint when you leave the earth. So you've got a choice. You're going to get it one way or another. And we want you to get it now. We want you to do the work and get it now versus on your deathbed going, oh, that's what it should have been.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's coming up for me is take the leap before you're pushed.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I heard you say the gratitude practice, right? And mm-hmm. and letting people know this is a very real practice and there is scientific proof and evidence behind this and what this can bring for you into your lives. What would you say two other things that the audience can take away and start practicing to move them in the right direction that they're looking for, their right direction?
Mm. Well, the first is self-love that we just talked about. The second, the whole gratitude practice, I would say incorporate two different things into your daily practices. First of all, before you go to bed at night, just write down one, two, three things, no more than that, don't feel pressure to do it, that you're grateful for. And so the last thoughts that you have before you go into slumber mode, things you're grateful for, and put them next to your bed. So you'll go to bed having written down these things you're thankful for, and then you wake up and you see them as well, and that's how you start your day. And the second piece of that is with your family, whatever that looks like, when you're with them, if you have family dinners, if you have family breakfast, or when you get together with family members, start a gratitude practice there and share with each other things that you're grateful for. Don't necessarily have to be about the other person. Could it be just about your day? You're simply sharing things that you're grateful for. And this has been proven, as you said, scientifically, to shift the way we view the world. And it's been proven to, like with spouses and when married couples, over a 6-week period of time, when they queried them to start, and then after the 6 weeks, their level of appreciation and love and engagement with that other person increases dramatically. And you'll do the same thing for yourself when you do these personal gratitudes at night and then looking at them in the morning. And it truly can help you shift the way you view the world and show up.
And I think it speaks to the piece we were discussing about being so connected to the stories we have built about our lives and what our lives look like and who we are and projecting it out. And it really brings that, those practices, those three things. So self-love and then the two gratitude practices for yourself and then within whatever family you have. Those are great ways to be able to shift out of your story and how attached you may be to that and really start to see things clearly. And I really love this conversation because let's do that proactively. Let's not wait until that train comes down the tracks and hits us off base. Let's do it now when we have time and space, and let's create the energy to do that. So, Drayton, I think it's a great conversation. I'm really excited for people to start thinking about this and to really challenge themselves. A, know you're okay. And then moving into some of these practices and some of these ways of being and asking the tough questions. So thank you for sharing this with our audience. Can you give the audience, how can they contact you? If they have questions or comments or anything more from you, how do they get a hold of you?
two of the best ways, DraytonBoylston.com, that's DraytonBoylston, or just Google me. I'm the only guy out there with that kind of crazy name. and or our Executive Coaching University. Again, it's executivecoachinguniversity.com, or you can simply Google it, and you can reach us that way as well.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, sir. Thank you, Batman, for coming on and sharing your wisdom.
My pleasure, Robin.
That's right. All right, everyone. Thanks for coming. And please join me in 2 weeks' time, same place, where I have asked Scott Sadler to come back. And he's going to be talking around communication and specifically the female advantage to that, which is valuable not just to females, but perhaps to everyone. So thanks, everyone. Have yourself a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Jenna on today's program, Women That Lead, Our Leading Edge. For more information regarding today's show or on any of the programs Women That Lead offers, please visit www.womenthatlead.com. Until next time, lead with alignment, passion, and purpose.